What happens when the practitioner becomes overly invested in the outcome of treatment? According to Dr. Zindel Siegel, this is an important question that you don't often find in the manuals. So here Zindel offers some insight on how to address this and a practical strategy to keep progress moving forward.
There are a number of ways of conceptualizing resistance, a number of different types of resistances. And I also think that part of the equation that is really important is to recognize what resistance triggers in you. So the first starting point, I think, is when there's a kind of, you know, game plan, and the game plan gets waylaid. What is the reaction that gets triggered in you as the therapist who may have an investment or a commitment to that game plan being executed? And so that can be anywhere from trying to not be too attached to things going a certain way and being able to let go of being flexible and saying, well, you know, we can do it this way if this way doesn't work. It could be a way of triggering a reaction in you that says, this is a patient who's defying me, who is challenging me in some way, and, you know, I'm the expert, and you can get angry, you can get demoralized. I've heard this patient has had multiple therapists and they're not really interested in engaging. All of these things are normal and natural ways of responding to resistance, and I think that there is a demand on therapists to increase their awareness in those moments, both in terms of the thoughts and feelings, but also sensations in the body that might be clues that there is a reaction that is entering the mind. And how much of that does one want to work from in terms of addressing what is going on with the patient? How much of that can one leave sort of on the sidelines and look at what the choiceful and adaptive thing is to do in the moment in terms of responding? Now, some therapies, I think, set themselves up for certain kinds of resistances more than others. So therapies like, you know, behavioral activation, cognitive therapy, even mindfulness-based cognitive therapy, where there are clear invitations for homework, where there are clear ideas that a lot of the learning takes place outside the therapy hour. People may end up doing very little about what gets asked. And then when they come back to their session with the therapist, maybe reporting that not a lot is going on. And then that kind of creates a problem. In those kinds of situations, and they happen a lot. They happen a lot. They happen more frequently than people might believe. I think viewing the resistance as something which is a separation between you and the client can be problematic, and that it's important to try to invite a collaboration around the phenomenon without labeling it as resistance. So that in MBCT, for example, you know, a common idea is that whatever happens or doesn't happen is grist for the mill. Mill is really an invitation to bring awareness to that phenomenon. So people who, you know, may come back and say, well, I was supposed to practice six times a week. I wasn't able to do it at all. Now, when you hear that as a therapist, it's like, well, what do you think you're going to get out of this therapy if you don't practice at all? But, you know, you have to let those thoughts kind of come and go and see whether you can generate in yourself a moment of curiosity and see, well, what actually was this patient's experience, and draw them into exploring it with you, without kind of any, you know, leakage of judgment or leakage of disappointment, but saying, okay, so, you know, you're in this program, this is what we talked about last week. This week you've come back and you said you just weren't able to do it. Let's roll up our sleeves and actually take a look at that. So what actually happened? And then you can follow in with a series of questions around, was this just something that you totally forgot about? Did you plan on doing it but weren't able to find the time? Did you start to do it and then kind of bailed after the first 5 minutes? Sometimes people might surprise you and say, well, they actually, you know, they did 2 or 3 days of practice over the week, but it wasn't complete, so they're calling it nothing. But I think at that moment of surprise, perhaps, on the part of the client where they're saying they did nothing and they're expecting you to perhaps come back and say, oh, oh, that's too bad, or can you redouble your efforts? But instead, you're coming from a place of curiosity, from a place of accepting how little they did, or whatever they did, or whatever they're reporting they did, and you're being equally curious, and I think this is the tough part for therapists, you're being equally curious about that person's experience as you would about the person who comes back and says, I did it every day, and it was wonderful, and my skills are growing. You know, that you really have that even-handedness. And especially in group treatments where other people are watching your reaction and your ability to connect with the people who are struggling as much as with the other people. So I would say that's one form of resistance around enactments that is very common, but that can be approached from this perspective that all of these phenomena are grist for the mill. I think that there are other forms of resistance that are a little bit harder to work with, at least in my experience. And that has to do with people for whom they have a very ambivalent relationship to change, even though a path for change may be laid out for them in a very straightforward way. And so people who have a sense of themselves as, and I don't know how to say this without it sounding perhaps pejorative, but their sense of suffering is an important element of their self-understanding. And even though the capacity for change might involve relinquishing some of that, they're not sure that they really want to do that. There's a sort of identification with a suffering in relationships, or a stance in which they know relationships through the lens of their own suffering, the difficulties of staying with a partner who might be very critical, or might be very meager in terms of any attention or affection that gets provided, and yet it's very difficult for them to make changes at their relationship level. I'm not talking about abuse, or I'm not talking about anything that's much more egregious, but ambivalence towards changing a role or relationship, those are a little bit more difficult, and often one can only get a flavor of that through the interaction or the enactment in the therapeutic relationship, to get a sense of how people, even though they may be provided with opportunities, are still finding it hard to seize upon and act upon those.
As Zindelp confirmed, one of the hardest parts of this work is having that equivalence. We need to be as invested in a resistant client as we are with clients who are compliant. For some additional thoughts on working with the practitioner's resistance, here's Dr. Ron Siegel, Dr. Kelly McGonigal, and Dr. Joan Borisenko.
Psychotherapy is not like, carpentry or something. You know, with carpentry, not that it doesn't have its challenges, but there's almost always a way forward. And almost always, if you're putting an extra hour or two, you're going to get the desired result. Whereas in therapy, you know, not necessarily, right? We don't know who's going to get better and who isn't. And, you know, sometimes our work comes down to being sort of like insulin maintenance, you know, where we're helpful, but it's not like the person is changing rapidly. It's that they feel supported by us, and that's helpful. But they continue to need it, and a lot of change doesn't happen. And I think that's very hard for us narcissistically a lot. And recognizing that and recognizing our own vulnerability about that, I think, is really important so that we don't get stuck into resisting resistance. I think another set of feelings here that get triggered a lot for me anyway is doing clinical work shines a kind of light on our own lack of sanity. I think of how often I've been working with somebody who's struggling with a problem that I'm struggling with myself. Maybe they're further along the path of working with it than I am. Maybe I'm looking at them saying, gee, I wouldn't have the guts to do what they've already done, and I wish I did. Or, you know, perhaps they're describing some problematic behavior, even, you know, common ones like eating too much junk food, or feeling inadequate, or feeling jealous, or, you know, some self-esteem issue or something. And I realize, gosh, I'm still struggling with this stuff. I haven't worked it all through. And, you know, not to mention when people come in with stories of illness, aging, and death, which, you know, who among us is fully, you know, at home with that? So, you know, I think a lot of times the difficulty we have is because our own fallibility is really being being threatened here, and our sense of ourselves as a therapist is being threatened.
So when I feel triggered by resistance in an encounter, in a teaching, in whatever is happening, or even my own resistance in sort of another context, I treat it like a yoga pose. And I just wanted to share what this is because I found this so helpful. When you're in a yoga pose and you are, say, trying to touch your toes, we know that physiologically, as you move in that direction, if you go a little too fast, there's a protective reflex that contracts the muscle fibers that you're trying to stretch, because the nervous system says, you actually have receptors that are detecting change in the length of your muscle fibers and in your joint capsules and even in your fascia. So these are sensory receptors that are detecting the rate of change. And if the rate of change is happening too fast, it signals this wonderful protective reflex that shuts it down. And you often experience it as pain. That is how you know the reflex is happening. That sensation of stretch becomes uncomfortably intense and it makes you want to come out of the pose. And this is exactly what happens, I think, in therapy or in any process of change. It's happening too fast. Some sort of protective reflex shows up and you want to get out of it because it doesn't feel safe. So we know that if this is really a healing pose for you to do, that there's benefit to being able to reach your toes, that the way to get through that protective reflex is you breathe and you let the quality of your breath begin to create a sense that what's happening right now is safe and okay. And clinicians can do this as soon as they feel triggered by resistance. That again, you start with the breath and you remember your intention. You breathe, you aren't running away, you aren't fighting it. We also know, by the way, in a stretch, if you try to push through that reflex, it only contracts harder to defend, you know, further. So you breathe, and then you allow yourself to feel what's present. And we know that quality of attention, if you really let yourself feel the resistance, feel the sensation of stretch, that it often begins to become a little bit less painful, just the quality of attention to it. And it's like, okay, I can handle this. And again, you can do this when you feel triggered by a client's resistance. You're breathing with it. Like, okay, I didn't like how this felt. I was being triggered by it. But okay, this actually isn't so bad. I can work with this.
You don't want to be resistance to resistance because you're so frustrated with that person sitting in front of you. And you know, it's for me, I'll give you an example. I had a client. He was just so stuck. He was depressed and nothing worked in his life. And he couldn't hold a job and all kinds of things like this. And he came into a session one day stoned out of his mind. And I'm thinking, what do I do with this? How do I respond to this? Because, you know, part of me wanted to stand up and screech, if you ever come in here stoned again, it's the end. I will never see you. How can we make any progress? And instead, I thought, well, I'll just ask him about it. I'll be curious. And so I had to deal with my own frustration, shock, anger. How could he come like stoned to our session? And instead try to make that switch to curiosity. And so that was interesting. I just asked, that's really interesting that you came here when you were stoned. And I said, my first reaction was to tell you I'm booting you out of here if you do that again. But I thought better of it. And I'd like to know why and what you get from being stoned and how it serves you. And on the other hand, how it may get in your way. And it actually opened up a tremendously productive line of communication in our life. And he didn't come to any more sessions stoned. But probably that was a pivotal session. And it came from my observing my own inner state and deciding to respond differently.
Having those different perspectives really shines a light on how the therapist's resistance can affect outcome. And it's a reminder of how important it is to follow our client's signal without judgment or conditions. I hope you found this useful, this program on resistance. I hope you're able to take away something from all of these expert insights and approaches to working with this very important issue. Please be sure to check out some of the bonuses that we've included in this program. I think they're going to further support the important work that you do. Enjoy this final thought from Dr. Kelly McGonigal, and thank you for being a part of this program. I'll see you again soon.
One reason I like the word resistance, too, is when you think about it from a training point of view, if you're trying to train or strengthen anything, you need some resistance to work against. When you lift weights, you're not lifting an empty barbell. You got to load it up with some resistance, and that's how you become stronger. So I think about resistance in that way, that you want it, you need it, it's part of the process of transformation, and your willingness to work with it with a clear sense of what you're trying to choose or strengthen or train, then you're just leveraging the resistance in that direction.